Radio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
I am Sid Vicious. This is WTR Sunday Night, the greatest wrestling talk show of all time.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
I realize you're currently at the mercy of your primitive biological urges, but as you have an entire lifetime of poor decisions ahead of you, may I interrupt this one?
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I'm a fan of anything that tries to replace actual human contact.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Well, if it isn't Will Wheaton, the Jar Jar Binks of the Star Trek universe.
Omega.
Oh, I'm a vegetarian. Except for fish and the occasional steak. I love steak.
Mace.
The appropriate ranking of cool modes of transportation is jetpack, hoverboard, transporter, batmobile, and then giant ant.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Don't you think I should answer the engineering questions? I am an engineer.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Yo, I'm in five halls of fame. I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's it, you big bet! Suck it!
Come heavy or don't come at all. You leave your peace at home, that's your call. It never paid to be merciful. Come heavy or don't come at all.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is our post-pay-per-view coverage of WWE Battleground. I think the opinions are going to be heavy and hard on this one, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking forward to this. I am the Omega, the be-all and all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Fuck this show! Fuck this show! Fuck this show! Oh, Rock, you want to start early? Let's fucking start early, cunt!
Calm down, dude. Calm down. Calm down. Continue, Omega.
Want to head up WWE's ass, dude, on fucking Thursday.
Believe it or not, there's still someone else on this call.
Yeah, he better be introed now.
The one and only Tim Stein.
He better be what?
Introed now. Let's go. Let's do this.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the post-Battleground pay-per-view review show of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. For those of you who watch the pay-per-view, you've got your own opinions of it. And the thing about it is, you're entitled to think what you want. We're not here to tell you what to think. We're not here to try to make anybody think the way other people think. And that's perfectly fine. Some people are going to say they like the pay-per-view. Some people are going to say they really fucking hate it. And that's perfectly okay. Everybody's got an opinion and everybody's entitled to one. I don't know. I'm getting the feeling that this is going to be you loved it or you hated it. No middle ground with this one. Really, seriously. I'm just getting that feeling. I don't know. We'll find out as we go along tonight talking about the pay-per-view. And we've got a thing to give away tonight if I ever get an email from, what is he calling himself? The intern.
The intern.
Intern, yeah. We had, what, four different people in the running for some swag as a prize?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and it's a running total, two pay-per-view total. If you wind up in North America, of course, with the most points after tonight, combined with the points that you garnered from the last pay-per-view, then you're going to get the WWE fan on board.
Yay!
Yeah, and the thing is, you have to actually put it on your car and take a picture of it and prove that you actually put it on your car.
It's more proof that Tim sent it.
Yeah, I wasn't going there. I just want people to prove that they actually, you know,
put it up.
I got you. I got you.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to stay there, but we got to see it. That's all there is to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so thank you very much to PW Mania for helping to pump out the fact that the Wild Talk Radio Network is around. And you want to check out your wrestling news source, check out PWmania.com. There's the first plug out of the way. That being said, let's just launch right into the pre-show. What was the pre-show? A whole bunch of nothing other than standard promo stuff, mainly building up Randy Orton fighting in his hometown against Sheamus, mainly.
Well, there's a lot more than that, but yeah.
Mainly. There's a lot more than that. But, of course, we had the standard, quote-unquote, free match. King R-Truth taking on King Barrett in a don't-mean-shit match.
That would be King What's Up.
Oh, I'm sorry. King What's Up.
As he made sure to correct, was it Renee Young?
JoJo.
It's a JoJo.
JoJo sucks.
They're interchangeable backstage, pretty much. No, JoJo's just short. She needs to stand on a box.
Well, that too. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe I'm just hoping she does. Anyway, never mind.
Wow, Tim. You know how young she is and that comment coming out of your mouth. Okay.
I'm taking it back, okay? As soon as I said it, I'm thinking, fuck, don't say it.
Because you don't know how young she actually is. Continue.
I have no idea. I'm figuring she's in her mid-20s.
Okay.
Now I'm hoping she's in her mid-20s, or I'm the second coming of Jerry Lawler.
She's 21.
Yeah, well, you know, Jerry Lawler likes his girls the same way most people like their scotch, age 12 years. Ba-dum-bum.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Stein, the man taking cheap shots at the guy who had a heart attack on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, he lived. Get over it. So anyway, yeah, back to the match.
Speaking of kings who should have had heart attacks.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Wow, dude. Wow.
Whoa. And I thought I was harsh. That was kind of harsh, Omega.
I hate this feud. I absolutely fucking hate this. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I can't disagree with Omega on this.
Here's the thing. If they let R-Truth cut the promo we cut 5 minutes before this match the entire time, we would actually have a serious feud. But they did it 5 minutes before the match, and no one cares. Just saying.
Well, I disagree with you on that one. I don't even think the three-quarters serious promo that he cut in the back before the match actually took place would have garnered any real interest in this match.
No, but if they cut the serious promos throughout and got rid of the stupid comedy, I think you could have had something.
Yeah, but it's our truth. I mean, he's there strictly for comedy.
I understand that. Then he shouldn't have cut the serious promo.
Yeah, it's a mixed signals what it is.
Yeah.
I like Crazy R-Truth. It's like by far the most interesting thing he's ever done in the WWE. And it's, you know, and it's either that or K-Quick.
Well, who's the sidekick? Who was the sidekick? Little Jimmy?
Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy?
Uh-huh.
He should bring Little Jimmy back and make him the court jester. Or, no, Prince Little Jimmy.
Now, I like Jester Jimmy better.
You only like that because of the alliteration with the J's. Anyway, just...
I'm also amused by the idea of him calling his tiny invisible jester Double J.
Okay.
Because if Vince thought of that, he would take the shot at Global Force Wrestling just because.
Just because it's Vince and it's Global Force Wrestling, yeah. Mr. Diddy's in the crowd. We see the Japanese rating on the wall. Welcome, Nick. So, in case you didn't get the idea that this match wasn't really pay-per-view quality, now you know. Wade Barrett wins. He actually finally wins something.
He won the King of the... wait.
After winning King of the Ring, he actually, like, wins something?
He was the King of the Ring, so he won his crown. No, he never lost. I don't know what they were feuding over.
I don't know. Apparently, found out this week he only won King of the Ring, so they didn't have to call him Wade anymore.
Yeah, go, Mace.
I'd have trouble finding this quality for a main event match, but hell, you could put this on Shotgun Saturday Night, and it still wouldn't have done shit.
Sunday Night Heat.
Oh, no, that would have been too much praise for it.
Okay,
that means putting it on the same time as a pay-per-view. Oh, my God.
That's still a pre-show.
Velocity.
I'm sorry, but yeah, I'll agree. Like, I'm not going to agree much with you guys tonight. I can already tell. But this will be one of the few times I will be agreeing tonight.
Yeah, it's a nothing match with a nothing feud.
Yeah. And to be honest, it's like, okay, if they wanted to keep this feud going, they should have had Truth win it. That was the only thing that I really that got me was, sure, it was a bad match, but if they had given R-Truth the crown at that point, then it would have been at least something. That's the thing, and my whole thing for tonight is something, when they just give us a big boatload of fucking nothing. But, yeah, good to see that they're getting the what the fucks out early, because we're going to be saying that a lot tonight.
Well, I think maybe they're substituting R-Truth or King What's Up and Wade Barrett, that feud, for what's been going on with Divas, because Divas used to be the bathroom break. But for the last few weeks, I've been interested in what the hell's going on with the Divas.
I know. I actually entirely agree with Mace. There's absolutely... There was nothing on the... There was, like... There's no substance to it the way it won. Like, there's no story being told. If Truth was going around crazy with a Burger King crown and towel around his shoulders, plunger, scepter, and all that, proclaiming to be a king, it'd at least be amusing. At least be... I would get some kind of entertainment when he came out for a match or something.
Think of the sponsorship potential with actual Burger King.
See, I'd want that just so Barrett could go back to being Bad News Barrett, where people actually liked him and actually liked what he was doing, instead of this, which is pretty much just how Wade Barrett was before Bad News. He just has a really stupid outfit now.
Point taken. Yeah. I think I mentioned Barrett
because
once. Yeah.
Because let's be honest, if we're going to have anybody that's going to at least be a credible king of the jobbers, then it's got to be R-Truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wade Barrett has tried so hard, and he got the Bad News Barrett gimmick over so well. Then they settle him with this, and it's like, oh shit, you're succeeding. Well, fuck, here's something that we're going to settle you with and put you on a losing streak. Yeah. Whereas with R-Truth, we're used to him losing. We're used to him being a joke. We're used to him not meaning shit. So why not have R-Truth settled with that rather than Wade Barrett, who actually has fucking potential?
So would you potentially label him the Barry Horowitz of the 21st century?
I'd be Zack Ryder.
Well, you know, Barry Horowitz.
Yeah, R-Truth is the clown.
Yeah,
R-Truth is Doink the Clown of a new generation.
Okay, maybe that'll work. But Zack Ryder and Barry Horowitz, no, because at least Horowitz had matches on TV. So, yeah. And then we get to the highlight of the pre-show, kids. The only reason to watch the pre-show, as far as I'm concerned, a Paul Heyman promo.
And he was not amused with Twitter.
More gold from Paul Heyman in this pre-show promo. What do you mean he was not amused with Twitter?
He didn't like the Twitter questions. He wasn't amused.
The questions that he was being asked by what's his name?
Tom Phillips.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that. Well, why did you ask that then? I'm in agreement with Paul. Why the fuck would you ask something you already knew the answer to?
Pretty much.
I was hoping Lindsay would have a second chance to ask him about his suits.
Best thing ever, randomly turning on the network and they're just showing that you know, Ask Heyman bit. And
yeah.
her question pops up randomly at times. It's amazing. Because it was a YouTube video where they asked talent stuff and they had to do it on Paul Heyman, and, well, her question got asked.
What was her question?
Where does he get his suits or something to that effect?
Oh, and where does he get them? Moore's, the suit people?
He completely just ignored the question.
Well, that sucks that he ignored the question.
But it was funny the way he did. I'll have to find the clip and play it one time.
Oh, good.
Hey, look, it is an honor to be ignored by Paul Heyman, okay?
Hey, I don't even have to tweet Paul Heyman, I get ignored by him.
Yeah, and so it was like 90% of the fucking internet, but at least when he acknowledges the fact that he is going to ignore you.
Well, that's different. Now, when he says he's going to ignore you, then okay, that's definitely an honor. I'll agree with you on that one. So that was the Battleground pre-show. No real groundbreaking, earth-shattering crap happening, which is pretty much what you come to expect with the pre-show. Nothing but hype and most of the times a nothing match, and we weren't disappointed because that's what we were expecting. Getting on with the actual pay-per-view event called Battleground, the pay-per-view opened up with Sheamus taking on Randy Orton in Randy Orton's hometown. And Omega, what did you say about holding Sheamus versus Orton in St. Louis?
What?
In our production chat during the Orton-Sheamus match, do you remember what you said?
Clearly, he does not.
He said that's where the only place anybody should hold a Randy Orton versus Sheamus match, because that's the only place anybody cares about one.
I think I said that.
Oh, yeah. Was that you? I thought it was Omega.
No, I
said
that.
I was positive it was Omega.
No, no. I was like,
because
wait.
That was actually intelligent, and I wouldn't expect that from you, Rob.
Hey, fuck you.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Ooh, yeah.
But before we get into the match, here's the question. You are a snappy dresser. Where do you get your suits? And here was the response.
You're a snappy dresser. Where do you get your suits? Your mom's my personal shopper, and she takes me out twice a month.
He didn't ignore it. He answered the question.
Yeah, he answered the question, but didn't give an answer. Yeah, sort of gave an answer. But yeah, funny. I told you it was funny.
It was good. I like that. That was good. Thanks for digging up that clip.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
Moving back to the match.
Yeah, I don't have much of anything to say about this match. It's Randy Orton versus Sheamus, and you can see this on any Raw or SmackDown over the last month if you missed this one.
Things of note, you look stupid chant. RKO, we had in as a chant now.
As opposed to New Day Sucks.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It goes to show the New Day are over. Just
it's like they were
not
so,
when they're in the ring.
they're so eager to fuck with the New Day. They couldn't even wait for the New Day to get out there.
Hey, when something is catchy, something is catchy. Okay.
When something's over, they won't get rid of it. So if you
Suplex
want New Day
City,
to go
yes,
away,
I know.
Yeah, if you want New Day to go away, shut up. Quit chanting. It's all your fault, everybody. But yeah, you say of note, the only thing new was the RKO chant to the New Day theme.
Yeah, but overall this match was actually, this was pretty good.
Oh, don't get me wrong, it was not a bad match. I was not bored by it or anything else like that. It was entertaining. Like I said, you know, I was entertained by this pay-per-view. I didn't like a lot of shit that went down, but I was overall, in the grand scheme of things, I was entertained. It was an entertaining match. Didn't blow my socks off.
No, but here's the thing. When they usually throw this match on, you're about 2 hours into Monday Night Raw, and you really, really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Since they opened the show with this match, people cared. Mm-hmm. I think that's a nice change of pace. Do I want to see this match again tomorrow night? No.
Are you going to? Probably.
So it's a Monday night. It's a 50-50 shot of them having that match anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I can admit it was a good match. I can also admit it was a good match about the other 86 times I've seen it.
Well, that was my point earlier. Thank you very much, Omega, for backing me up indirectly, even though you obviously don't mean to.
I never mean to.
I know, but that's why it's so special when it happens. But yeah, Randy Orton wins with an RKO, but this really confuses the shit out of me. Randy Orton won. It's in his hometown. What the hell?
Well, that's twice. That, you know, Finn Balor won in Japan where, you know, he wrestled a long time, and now...
Well, yeah, but that's his adopted home. That's different.
It's adopted still.
Different.
Still.
Still different.
It's adopted. It's not real. Doesn't
yeah,
count.
Yeah, doesn't count. I just think Randy Orton isn't as loved by creative as Jim Ross was.
Being loved by creative doesn't mean shit. It's if you're loved by Triple H... That's what matters. And I'll say this. I was awake for an hour before this match started. This match put me straight back to sleep. I'm sorry. Like Omega said, yeah, it's something we haven't seen 84 times before.
Exactly.
I have zero fucks to give about this match, and yeah. It was just that boring. I actually fell back asleep.
And like I say, we'll probably see some iteration of it, if not tomorrow, then... Well, in the States on Thursday night, but here in Canada on Wednesday. And Mace won't have any fucks to give because he doesn't watch SmackDown, so that won't matter for him.
Exactly!
So, there you go. Nothing to write home about. Randy Orton wins. Whoop-dee. Divas Revolution promo airs from the events last Monday night, and if we were doing our WWE or win fail for the week. This would have been my win for the past week, was what happened with the Divas on Monday Night Raw. And we got treated to it on a replay, and it was still quite a pleasure to see it all transpire the way it did with the three new call-ups. Basically, what did they do? Form three stables, three individual stables.
You got Team Bella, Team Page and Team Bad. So
yeah, I know that's an acronym, stable name, but oh my god, why? This isn't the 1980s, man. Bad Street is not back, okay? But that might be
sorry,
a
I'm sorry.
Shit play, okay?
Like I'm sorry. As a fan of 80s and 90s cartoons, I can kind of appreciate villain team acronyms that are that blatant.
And it's already had two different names so far, so...
What does Bad supposed to stand for again?
Now it's standing for... I wrote this down.
Beautiful and Dangerous.
Beautiful and Dangerous, yeah.
Oh, you had to write that down?
I wrote down Beautiful and Dangerous Interview. It was later in my notes.
I was playing with Lego during the pay-per-view, and I remembered that.
And shot taken.
In fact...
Are those the extra ones, or the
These are the special extra ones.
Okay.
I'm glad that you let us know it's Legos, because I'm thinking you're rattling an empty cup full of ice.
No, that's Lindsay who does the stuff with the ice.
Yeah.
This is Florida. We don't have ice.
Really? Then how'd you do an ice bucket challenge?
I didn't. If you notice, it's all melted by the time it hits my head. That was literally 10 pounds of ice in Florida water for like 5 minutes, already completely gone.
Fair enough. But in regards to this promo and the ones that they do all through the night or whatever, I'm sorry, I look at it and I'm like, oh, I can so see the NXT girls turning heel and grouping up to get rid of the old guard or the Divas division or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, not even a week after they debuted, and I'm already calling the storyline.
Well,
honestly, it helps that two of the Divas are with Paige, who is an NXT girl.
Yeah, you exactly went where I was going to point out the potential flaw in Mace's evil plan.
Why? Paige has been on the main roster long enough that she can actually be considered a WWE diva as opposed to being one of the NXT crew.
Well, keep this in mind. Of those nine girls that we saw on Raw, six of the nine were already heels. If the other NXT divas turn heel too, it's 8-1.
And we don't need that.
Here's the thing. And remember, this is WWE quote unquote logic at work. You would have the Bellas, Alicia Fox, and all that be the faces in this thing, defending the WWE divas that have existed on the roster for years and years, rah rah rah. Because that's the way they book it. Because they're fucking morons.
No, the way they're booking. No.
After tonight, can you say that anything should be fucking logical?
The divas are the one thing they got right tonight.
Is that a countdown clock I hear to them fucking it up? Oh, yes, it is.
You pessimistic fuck.
Thank you.
Well, now, hang on, Omega. Yeah, I get he's being a pessimistic bugger, but he can only go by past experience.
I am aware. I am also aware there's this new attitude with the divas division, to the point where the whole point of this is for the NXT girls to be the new standard, and the current roster has to keep up with them or get out, which I like.
It's a noble idea, and we're all hoping that happens. Some fans are waiting with bated breath because they've done something similar before and have reverted.
Except this is Triple H's decision.
So
as much as we used to rag on the guy for ruining the business, Trips has done a pretty ace job when it comes to these kinds of calls.
He's done quite well with NXT, and that's basically the bright spot in this whole thing, and that's why those of us who are waiting with bated breath are cautiously optimistic, I think is a good way of putting it.
I don't know. If you remember on Monday night, the team that was in the – it was three brand new NXT call-ups, including Sasha.
Yep.
Who were all in the ring with submission holds on Team Bella, which were the three most established divas in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the three big examples of the old way, the Bellas and Alicia Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly want to believe they actually know what they're doing for a change, because the way that was booked indicated exactly what they need to do. The new girls aside from Sasha, who's like a solid heel, the others need to be popular to get this new division over.
Yeah,
you can't get that kind of popularity out of the Bellas right now.
Yeah, no, this is true. Especially when whoever's booking for the Bellas has them act babyface 1 month and then heal the next 3 weeks in a row.
Sometimes it changes week to week. Sometimes it changes in the same week. You'll be
changes mid promo.
There'll be a heel on Raw and then a face on SmackDown. Like
they cut a heel promo and go out as babyface wrestler on the same night.
So fucking broken.
That's just screwed up totally. So anyway,
I'm right there with you guys in hoping that they do something with these divas, but. As we see later on tonight, trying to establish and make guys seem credible and shit. Ha! Our ratings are down. We need to keep our established people as the tops, remember?
Yeah, because the established people up top haven't helped the ratings go down at all or anything like that. He said sarcastically. Anyway, so the promo was good, and it just basically portends what's going to happen later on. In the meantime, we've got the WWE Tag Championship. I guess you call this the rematch. It's the primetime players defending against New Day. And Xavier Woods is playing the role of New Day cheerleader. And the guy doesn't shut up.
He was a commentary team without a microphone.
But he's kind of fun to listen to.
Depends on the topic. If you ever watch any of his up, up, down, down videos, oh my god, I just want to punch him in the face.
Yeah, but tonight he had some gold.
I will admit the new one watching him and Seth Rollins play Ninja Turtles is kind of fun, amusing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was great. But especially watching the Street Fighter tournament, oh hell no.
I love Mark Henry getting the Turtles wrong. Standing over them trying to talk like he actually knows the Turtles.
Michelangelo was a smart one.
Well,
no, Mark, go back to catering.
comparatively, Mark.
Kentucky Fried Chicken saves the day. Anyway, the match was equally entertaining and boring, really. It had some really good spots, and it just had some, like, yeah, okay, maybe we'll do the dishes now. To me, anyway.
It was kind of a mixed bag match.
Mm-hmm. It lacked consistency. I think, again, this is my opinion. This is the way I feel about it. But I'm glad to see that they kept the titles on primetime players.
New Day right now really doesn't need them. Like, they're getting so much heat right now. They're getting heat better than any of the other heels on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they wouldn't take the belt off the primetime players with Titus's whole, you know, Father of the Year thing being used for publicity right now.
Yeah, it's the dad of the year, it is the homosexual rights, and basically the team's unbeatable right now.
Well, you know, the thing that sticks out is the father of the year stuff and everything that Titus is doing. The fact that, what's his name's gay, doesn't even register with me.
That's good. Like, just for the best, because that kind of thing shouldn't register.
Well, here it is. Now, you know, your smart-ass comments aside and everything, I don't care if somebody's gay or if they're not gay. I'm not gay. It's not for me. But it's not my place to see what you're doing in the bedroom. Hell, I don't like seeing guys and girls making out with each other in public. Never mind two guys or two girls. That almost hurts saying two girls. Anyway, so I really don't care. You know, people are saying I'm against gay marriage, and then I'm thinking, well, then don't marry somebody who's gay. Shut up and leave it alone. Don't worry about it. It's not your problem. And so, yeah, it doesn't register on me at all. So this whole gay rights thing, whatever. I just aside from Titus and all the good publicity with the award and everything else like that, it's Omega. You said it first off. New Day doesn't need the titles right now. They're better at the moment chasing it, which is kind of a switch up because you usually want your baby face to chase the title.
I don't even think they need to chase it. Well, they just need to keep being absolute dicks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's working.
Yeah, like, whatever they got going is keeping them popular. Whether it's a good way or not, that is for, you know, others to decide, I guess. I don't know.
Well, the reason why they're over is because they embraced the heat that they're getting from the crowd and used it to their advantage.
They're owning
it. Now making fun of them is what has them over. It's almost like what Bad News Barrett was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He would get booed, but he embraced it and rolled with it, and he got over.
Yeah. So there it is. If you're given a gimmick, if you own it, look what could happen.
Well, that's the thing. WWE is completely schizophrenic when it comes to that kind of thing. Because, like you said, like bad, you know, Wade Barrett did this. It's bad news Barrett. But he was doing it so well, people started getting into it. People started cheering him. And someone backstage went, that's not in the plan. Cut that shit out. Meanwhile, same thing. New Day comes out, they get, you know, they're supposed to be faces, and then they go, oh no, the crowd is not buying into this. They're like really against them. Mm-hmm. Let's take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. So
and guess
it works.
What?
It's working.
Yeah. The New Day is the best thing that you've had in heels in a long time.
Yeah.
While Wade Barrett is wearing a plastic crown on his head.
Mm-hmm. So when things work, they work. Don't question it. Just roll with it and don't try to change it.
Yeah, I don't care if it's in the plan or not. Change the plan.
Yeah, the best entertainment for your buck is something that becomes organic.
Mm-hmm.
And New Day's gimmick right now, it's organic. Like you said, they were meant to be good guys. And the fans revolted, so they owned that.
It's astonishing to me because, I mean, you look at, like, look how long Kofi Kingston was in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, he's had his bright spots. The guy has been a face since he came to the WWE. This is his first time working as a heel, and this is as over as he's ever been.
And every over-the-top Battle Royal or Royal Rumble he's ever been put into was to be the spot monkey because Shelton Benjamin's not around anymore.
Okay, we're trying to praise Kofi Kingston, and all I can sit there thinking is, okay, Kofi Kingston supposedly is over with the group, but he's still in the fucking shadow of Xavier Woods and Big E.
Well, it's hard to be out of Big E's shadow, let's be fair.
Well, that's true, but think about it. When, like, you got Big E doing the intro as, like, an amazing, you know, preacher-style thing. You've got Xavier Woods running as the mouthpiece of the group. And Kofi's just there to be, like we said, he's a spot monkey. The other two seem to have these real nice, distinct personality to them, and Kofi just sort of standing back going, cool, I'm a part of the group. I'm a part of the group.
he kind of does, just because you have Big E doing the intro. You have Xavier doing most of the talking, because Xavier's far better at talking. You know, Kofi gets it done more in the ring. Like, of the three, of course he's the biggest veteran, but he's also the best one, you know, in the square circles as well.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, nothing ground shaking with this one either. It, part of it entertained and part of it didn't. That's all I can say. Primetime players retain their titles, and we move on to the next little thing on the pay-per-view, which is a promo with Paige, Charlotte, and Becky. I can't say anything about the promo because I didn't see it.
Becky's gotten better at talking. That's all.
What is she, Irish or Scottish, for crying out loud?
Irish.
Okay.
Yeah, she's Irish.
She's learning to slow down and talk, and it's a lot better than she was 6 months ago when she was trying to cut promos in NXT.
And she was just talking to Melman, and you couldn't understand what she's saying because the accent was so thick.
Yeah, so she's slowed down, and you understand her better. She's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, so was the promo any good, or was it just standard schlock stuff?
No, they talked about rebuilding the Divas division. They have to tear it down to bring it back up brick by brick. It was a solid promo. It was good. And they're going to do it with Flair. So you got the cheap pop in for Flair.
There you go. And now we basically come to the next match of the night, which is Roman Reigns taking on Bray fucking Wyatt. And the damage they've done to Bray Wyatt between when he was winning all the time just after he came up to now has made him a superstar in WWE that a lot of people who used to be fanatical about him just really don't give two shits too much.
Watch the promo he did on WWE.com. You understand why he's really gifted at what he does.
Why he's really
what? I have to go to WWE.com to find the promo that supposedly gets him over? No, sorry. Do it on TV. Do it on SmackDown. Do it on something that people are actually going to see. If I have to hunt it down, I'm not going to give a shit.
That's your opinion. I'm not disagreeing it shouldn't be on Raw or SmackDown. I think it should. But they did a good promo with him and Michael Cole.
Well, again, like Max was saying, if it was such a good promo, they should have put it on Raw or SmackDown. Really, they should have. And, you know, that's the end of it. Sure, maybe it's a great promo, but a lot more people will wind up seeing it, and he'd get that much more over if they had it on TV
because not everybody goes to WWE.com. Everybody who doesn't raise their hand. Look, there's mine.
But that still goes right to the core of his problem right now.
Uh-huh.
He is just promo. That's pretty much all Bray Wyatt does. He has promos and generally loses matches.
So was anybody expecting anything of any note to come out of his match against Roman Reigns tonight?
Yes.
Absolutely fucking nothing.
Yes, but I'm in the minority, so continue.
Well, no. I'm kind of with Mace here on this, because Roman Reigns turned out to be a bit of a bust, and we all, most of us were in agreement that he was pushed too far, too soon, too hard, too easily, and it wasn't his time. And WWE did the right thing by making sure that he didn't get the belt and he didn't get the Money in the Bank. But after getting to the edge and then not being able to climb over it and having Bray Wyatt basically job out on, you know, matches where we should care and then wind up not because he's getting jobbed out where we don't think he should. What is the investment here, Rock? You brought it up. You said that there was a purpose and all this other stuff. Tell me.
Because they've been rebuilding both men in this feud. I know you guys hate it. I know you guys don't like this feud. But they've actually done a good job on this feud.
Don't mind the feud. I mean, they're two up-and-coming guys that should have feuded at some point. I don't like how it began because it makes no fucking sense.
For him costing him, that's that you don't understand that part of it?
I don't understand.
Anybody but you, Roman.
Why him? Why then? Well, why then I understand, just to get on his nerves the most. It just seemed to come out of nowhere. Like, it's another one of those, oh, I don't like you, so I'm going to punch you now type feuds.
Roman beat Bray, cost him his shot into Money in the Bank, so Bray screws Roman out of Money in the Bank. That's the simple part of the story.
Meh.
And here's the thing. They tried to get people invested. I understand that they're rebuilding both guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to put this more on Bray than Roman. Since Bray lost to The Undertaker, like since WrestleMania, I have found absolutely zero reason to keep being a Bray Wyatt supporter. You know, he's got a great promo style, he's got a great look, he wrestles really well. He's got everything I should be enjoying. But for some reason, I am finding it hard to actually support him, to actually be interested when he comes on television again.
Now, here's the thing. When Roman Reigns was a member of the Shield, LaMounds just brought this up in the chat room. This is where I was going to go. When Roman Reigns was a member of the Shield and the Wyatt family was all together, these guys butted heads, and we all ate it up. We were all into it. Why didn't they think, hey, why don't we take this and bring this up, and Bray can't let it go? This would be a fantastic idea.
I think that's where they're going to be going forward from here, given how the match went.
Yeah, and that's where they should have gone to begin with, to get us interested initially, is, you know, that's the point, and I'm in full agreement with that. That would have been the way to book it, and that probably, if, you know, I don't want to say, you know, claim things after the fact, but that if that was something I was booking in Canadian Outpro, the odds are extremely good that we would have looked at it that way instead of, oh, anybody but you, Roman. Why? Because we're told we have to. At least that puts a solid reason behind it, and you can get into it. And there's a reason to give Dean Ambrose something to do on top of it.
But is it any better to rehash what was already done quite a bit in the past?
This is not rehashing what was done. This is like making a trilogy. You have the first movie, the middle part, and the last movie. And they're not sequels. It's a continuing storyline. This happened because of that. Now that's going to happen because of this and that. You know what I'm saying? A continuing storyline and a sequel are different things. In the middle of your making noise of Lego, are you understanding what I'm trying to say?
Yes, but I'm still going to mock you.
Well, yeah, that's just because you're a Floridian and that's what you do. Anyway, that being said,
that's so derivative of Floridians, yes.
Well, you know, what do you expect when you live in a state that's shaped like a limp penis?
I don't know. What did you expect?
Hey, you pick on me, I pick on your whole fucking state.
I don't need your help picking on this whole fucking state. This fucking state is weird.
Florida, where people go to die. Yeah. Anyway, that being said, you know what? I find myself getting into the match. I did.
It was entertaining. It was like, oh, hey, good moves. I wasn't cheering for either one of these guys. I wasn't booing either one of these guys. I was just sitting back and watching them, and they did a good job. It was, I found it entertaining. There's that word again.
It was a good fight for what it was, but
yeah,
there was no investment in either person. It was just one of those things of, oh, two guys are beating the absolute shit out of each other, like pulling off some real fucking impressive moves.
Yep.
And I just couldn't give a shit either way. It's like, yeah, oh, Bray pulled off something really good. Oh, okay, Roman did something impressive. Oh, Bray just killed Roman with his clothesline when he tried to do that fucking drop kick on the apron thing. I'm like, ooh, that was nasty.
Oh,
like,
I enjoyed seeing.
It's like being at a bar and watching a brawl going on, and it's like you're just sitting there drinking a beer, going, "This is fun to watch." I don't give a shit who fucking wins, but it's cool. Yeah, I was Kermit the Frogging that motherfucker. This is a good match, but that's none of my business.
Yeah, that's a good match, but what do I know? Or yeah, that's none of my business. If you don't know what he's talking about, there's a meme on Facebook and Twitter where Kermit the Frog is sipping a glass mug full of tea, and it's just the sarcasm 101. And it's good. Yeah, it makes a point. So yeah, you know, I was entertained. Kind of surprised with the outcome of the match. I sort of expected a winner, and I think I kind of sort of expected the winner to be Bray Wyatt. I think I was in the minority when I picked Bray Wyatt, at least on this panel. As a matter of fact, I'm the only one who picked Bray Wyatt.
I picked Bray Wyatt, but, you know.
You weren't on this panel.
I know, but I'm on this panel now.
Well, no, it doesn't count. You can't just say, well, I'm on this
you're
panel.
You're adopted onto
Bray
this
Wyatt
panel.
On the other
it doesn't
panel.
Count.
Yeah.
I'm adopted onto this panel. I also called Luke Harper coming in, too.
I feel like I need to go and get some Lego to Russell just to keep
Please,
up with
the Please, no more Legos.
I could dig out Owen's old Duplo blocks. No, I can't. Wait, they're not here. Anyway, yeah. people, if you didn't see it, Luke Harper came out and he had an oversized hoodie on with the drawstrings. The hood was up and the drawstrings were pulled tight so you couldn't see who it was. And everybody's wondering, well, who the hell is that? Unless your name is Rock because you have it all figured out because you're the mole. Molly, 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 molly.
I thought it was somebody else because the camera angle they used and the way the hoodie looked on him, you couldn't. I thought it was somebody a lot smaller than Harper.
Yeah. And here was my thing.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Now that I actually see him in the ring and I can see the beard, oh, okay. I stand corrected.
Yeah, yeah. When as soon as he's in the ring and Cole's still going, oh, who is it? Who could it be? It's like, do you not see, like, the cubic yard of feet of like of hair is just sticking out of that hood? Who do you think it is?
The angle that I first saw it, for the first split second when I saw it, here's what my thinking was. Oh shit, don't tell me they put Ambrose in there and he's gonna turn on Roman and join Bray. It crossed my mind for a split second that it was Dean Ambrose. And then you see the whole, you know, bunch of hair on the face. So, but yeah, thanks to Luke Harper, Bray Wyatt picks up the win, and I get the win on the WTR Pick'em. So yeah,
this match started to set a precedent tonight of great match, shit finish,
logical finish, but that's me.
Shit finish.
Well, there is a logic there, but you know, like let's just have a regular finish instead of all of these screw jobs.
I would like Bray to be able to win a match on his own because he needs the credibility. He needs to show that he can actually get a match done without that kind of thing going on.
And getting a win with an assist at this point in time is not helping him, despite what people think will happen.
Yeah.
The opposite's taking place.
Now, exactly. Bringing in Luke Harper while Rowan is out with injury, okay, good. Okay, if you could reunite the Wyatt family, give him some followers, and actually show he still has some direct influence, good. Because it didn't make any sense to break them up in when or why they broke them up.
Well, Vince just has a penchant for doing that, and he's had a penchant for doing that for quite some time.
Yeah, well, it didn't work, which is what happens a lot of times when Vince has one of those let's break them up for no reason ideas.
Let's break him up because I want to push this guy. Well, push this guy, but don't break him up, dumbass. Let him ride his coattails, because who knows? Maybe they'll both do something good at the same time with each other, but no.
Yeah. Logical to use him, not logical for Bray to need the help to win.
Well, here it is. I'm going to qualify what Rock said, that it was a logical move. Logical, but stupid. There is a time when logic doesn't make sense, and you have to go with your heart, not your head.
But why was it stupid?
Because we've already said why it was stupid. At this point in time, with everything that's gone on with Bray Wyatt in the last year and change, he needs to win on his own. If he's going to start winning again, he needs to beat people down. Here he is, oh, I'm the new face of fear. Dude, you're making me laugh because you're not doing fuck all, Jackrabbit. Do something to prove to me you're the new face of fear. I'll buy into it. Hasn't happened. Bringing Luke Harper in on a pay-per-view ain't going to cut the mustard. I don't care if Bray cheats. I don't care if Bray knocks Roman out with a chair when the ref's back is turned. That's Bray doing it, not Bray doing it with an assist from Luke. If you're going to bring Luke in and have Luke help Bray out, do it on a regular Raw or SmackDown or main event. Seriously.
For me, it was Bray looked so impressive for what he was doing in this match.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't need Luke.
Bingo.
That's what got me narky about the finish. Was, yeah, bring him back, have him reunite. That's great. That's actually going to help Bray in the long run.
Yep.
But Bray was looking so impressive in this matchup that he didn't need Luke Harper to help him get the win. He looked like he could take down Roman Reigns on his own. He was in Roman's head that much that he could take him out tonight.
He didn't do it. Here's what you do. You have that match go just the way it did. You have Bray in control. You have him in, you know, in Roman's head. You have Dean Ambrose music hits. You see him come out the ramp. He's, you know, dancing around getting ready to charge the ring. He charges down. Then Luke, dressed up in full, like, Unabomber look, just springs and, like, intercepts him. Like, just, you know, floors him right there. Set up the feud, the 2-on-2. You have Luke showing his loyalty, and you don't fuck with the ending.
But did you really expect Roman Reigns to lose clean?
He needed to. More than that, Bray needed a clean win.
Again, it doesn't have to be 100% clean. Just he doesn't need anybody else coming in to get the assist.
Yeah, it was just the way it was booked tonight and the way those guys went at it. They put on a phenomenal match in the ring, and Bray looked fucking dominant for the first time in a long time.
Like, not
and
to
then,
be a smart
then, they did, then they just pulled the rug out of him at the end of it by having him get the assist win.
Now, here's
like, I know it doesn't make no sense for Reigns to take the loss clean. Hell, you could have had him have a double DQ or a count out or something and continue this down the road. But it just didn't feel right to have Luke come in and be a part of that finish after the match that these two had.
Yeah, booking wise, Mace and I are pretty close to being on the same page just because of what we've done and where we've been. And you know, being in the ring, and here I am. I'm in the ring as the CEO on the mic talking about this, and then I'm in the back working on booking with whoever I've given the book to for that particular set of shows. I was still working on the book, and I wanted to make everything make sense. And I've had guys say, well, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. I says, why? It's stupid. It doesn't make sense in the overall scheme of things. So Mace and I, we're pretty much coming from the same place. We're in disagreement on a few things, and that's normal. But this is just us. We're not ganging up on anybody. This is just from our experience why we're saying that. Now, Omega, you're agreeing with half of what we're saying, and you're not completely disagreeing with the other half.
I'm somewhere in the middle. I do like I need Bray to be able to win a match without assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Really do. I wouldn't mind some kind of dirty finish. You know, the best finish this match would have had.
What's that?
The focal point of the feud: Roman's daughter walking out on stage, catching Daddy's attention, and then putting on a sheep mask,
or singing. I've got, or he's got the whole world in his hands.
No, keep her silent.
Why not both? Like,
well, actually, okay, I like the sheep mask. Yeah, I like the sheep mask idea. That would have just been, that would have ignited a feud, and I'm like, oh shit, now I want to watch what happens tomorrow.
If that had been the finish, it would have had a lot of shades of Raven versus Sandman,
mm-hmm.
which that whole story with Sandman's family and Raven sort of brainwashing them and shit. That was a great feud. I would love to see that done with Bray Wyatt against Roman Reigns in the WWE. It would be an awesome storyline to go with.
Well, but, they make Hollywood blockbusters. Why not make that feud?
It seems like these days they don't really seem to want to go down interesting paths, but okay. Yeah. Kermit the Frog.
Maybe they think some of the subject matter is too touchy. I don't know. Anyway.
A guy looking like Bray kidnapping a child, putting her in a sheep. But yeah, that's got a lot of pedophilic undertones.
Yeah.
But then again, okay. He's had a bunch of child followers in sheep masks appearing on Raw.
Good point.
Yep. So I will call that one a push. Here it is from a Booker standpoint. Great match. Like, very entertaining match. It was good. They hit points they needed to hit. They hit spots they wanted to hit. The winner booked well. The finish, not so good. Just the booking of how the finish came about sucks. Everything else. I won't call it gold. It's silver. That being said, everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We've been bitching, complaining, and praising for a whole hour. It's time for us to take our first, last, and only time out on this pay-per-view review show. WTR Sunday Night will return right after these messages.
A little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moments.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
and the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWmania.com. Again, the web address is PWmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWmania.com.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Back WTR Sunday night, taking a look at what happened at Battleground, in case you just joined us. That's what we're doing tonight, and that's why we're on a little bit later than we normally are. Normal time is 10 o'clock Eastern, but we started at 11 o'clock Eastern tonight.
By the way, you can follow us on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, at Flames Forum, at The Maze Thing, at TJ Omega, or at WTR Sunday night, and you tweet your thoughts. We may read them on air.
There you go. Yeah. That being said, let's get right back into it. We got a promo in the background, back in the back, as it were, with Tamina Naomi. Naomi on Sasha Banks.
Naomi in the background.
With the background. I don't know what just happened there. You just got to stop doing that. That was bad. Anyway,
you went a little Booker T on us for a while there.
I did. I went a little shuck-a-ducky quack quack, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, my computer was buggering up. My browser crashed, so it kind of distracted me a little bit. Well, it was doing that because it was kind of funky because something went wrong with the web page. Anyway, the three girls, these are the ones they call bad. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that stand for again?
Big ass dookie.
Oh, I was thinking bitching, domineering. No? Okay. Maybe not.
No.
Well, what'd it mean, Dan?
Beautiful and dangerous.
That's it.
Did you need your notes for that?
Yes, I did.
You couldn't remember that.
Because all I remember is something in Dominating was the one they used on SmackDown. That's the one that still stuck, part of it stuck in my head.
Best at Dominating.
Best at Dominating, yeah.
Again?
I remember Dominating, you know.
Okay, congratulations on remembering 33%.
Bad at Dominating. Wait, no, that's something else. Anyway.
Moving on.
Moving on, yeah, you know, your standard promo, once again, pushing the Divas and getting it out there that, you know, there's a change, and pay attention because shit's going to happen. Speaking of which, we got a Diva threat, a triple threat Diva match.
A really good one.
Yeah, Sasha Banks taking on Charlotte, taking on, wait, Nikki, you're not fighting? No, throw in Brie for the bump dummy. Gee, that's what they did.
It's a nice heel tease.
So, and
Omega framed this perfectly.
This was putting
a putty patroller up against the green and white Power Rangers.
Now you have to understand the putty patrol and the Power Rangers to get that one. As my brand new computer starts blanking out on me here and I'm losing my notes.
If I have to explain Power Rangers to somebody listening to this network, get out.
Then they don't listen to this network.
Exactly.
They don't know well enough.
By the way, I absolutely hate this thing.
Say what now?
No, okay, I must have come through clearly. Bugger. Blew that jerk.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Hey, but I was expecting to go, hey, I absolutely hated this match, and you guys go, wait, what? And I'd be like, haha, joking.
Okay, I get it now, I think. I'm just trying to...
I'm trying to be funny. Fuck you all.
Hey, I'm sorry I'm distracted. I'm trying to unfreeze my computer on the fly here. So, yeah, I'm kind of distracted on stuff. Mace, you and I kind of disagree on this. You figured it was a bit of a waste of time because Nikki didn't take the spot and threw her sister Brian instead.
Yeah, it was one of those things that didn't quite gel with me. Like, the whole thing with this is meant to be, can the old guard keep up with the new guard?
Mm-hmm.
Which means you'd probably, if you're wanting to showcase what the divisions can do, you'd want to put your, and I hate to say this, top performer in, which unfortunately is fucking Nikki.
You choked on that, didn't you?
Yeah.
But do you really want to throw her out in an unadvertised match really quickly with these two girls?
Yeah. Sink or swim, bitch.
Yeah, there you go. And this is where you and I will have to agree to disagree, because I don't want to see Nikki fighting in this match unless the title's on the line. There's no reason for her to be in it. I understand what you're saying, old guard versus new guard, but at the same time, even though you got the inkling Brie was going to be the bump dummy, still, in my opinion, the entire reason for this match was to highlight the call-ups from NXT, which is exactly what they did.
Yeah, once I started seeing that, I did start to think it was a better idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really wouldn't want the Diva champion in there in the first place, just because that's more money down the line to not immediately put the top, air quote, top Diva against the new guard immediately.
Well, wouldn't it be money to put the NXT champion there against Nikki at SummerSlam?
Yeah. When we're charging $9.99 for an event, who gives a fuck? I'm sorry, the old money argument is now invalid with the WWE Network being there.
Well, okay, I'm not using that any longer in a literal capacity, but the figurative industry sense, if I can qualify it. And I'm going to qualify it, so I don't care if you say yes or no. But yeah, one really scary moment, the girls standing a little bit too close to the ring when Brie did the bump off the apron, and she almost wound up having to go and get a hospital room right beside Tyson Kidd. Yeah, I'm sure you all saw the replay on that one.
I think I missed that one.
No, you're right on that one, Tim. She
Brie came so damn close to breaking her fucking neck because Alicia Fox and Nikki were standing too close, and she went tits over tea kettle. And when she did the back bump to, fall backwards onto them.
She basically took an electric chair drop to the outside.
Essentially.
Yeah, she was trying to do the trust fall, and they all fall down, and, well, they were too close.
Shouldn't have trusted.
Yeah, they were too close for the trust fall, and, well, she almost smacked her head. To her credit, she got right back up.
Well, you could tell that it hurt her. You could see that it was, that she did suffer from it, but Obviously, no real damage was done. So that's a good thing.
And Brie was more than just a bump dummy in this match. She held her own.
She did some good, but I'm going to disagree with you on that one. She was a bump dummy. She got moves in, but she wasn't there to be challenging for anything. She was there to make sure that the other two got highlighted.
She got in enough for her presence to be felt, but for the most part, she was getting tossed aside so the NXT girls could actually go at it by themselves.
Exactly. This is my thinking and my point.
I did really like this match. I think it was done the right way, and I think it showcased the new girls, you know, the way they should have been.
Yep.
Part of me is, I don't want to be down on this match, but through this, you could definitely see the difference between, you know, Brie, who is, you know, a model trained to be a wrestler, and, you know, someone like Charlotte, who was, you know, bred into the business.
A wrestler trained to be a wrestler who looks like she could be a model.
I mean, there's just, okay, yeah, Brie got in enough shots to actually be felt in the match. At the same time, there's just, when you can see it that closely, like back to back, between
yep.
our NXT divas and our, you know, WWE model catalog divas, there's a noticeable difference in how moves are sold, delivered,
yeah.
and it highlights just, you know, a lot of the problems we've had with divas and diva matches, and explains a hell of a lot about why the audience hasn't really cared about them for a long time.
Yeah, well, let me ask you guys this. How many times have we watched a divas match that was, for the most part, okay, good, watchable, but we still point out the missed spots, the missed shots, the botches that take away from something that would be otherwise a good match? A lot. How many botches or missed spots or missed shots did you see tonight? Aside from the near disaster with Brie outside the ring, that's different.
Not a lot. Like, there's a few spots that were a little rough, but they pulled out of it pretty well.
Yeah, they're unpolished, but not blown is the best way of putting it, I think.
Yeah, that'll work. What I noticed didn't take me out of the match.
Yeah.
You had a little trouble hooking someone for a backslide position. Okay, not going to hold that against you. Little things like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like your standard divas match. Where like a year ago, you know, you would have a diva, you know, do one move and then go, oh, wait, I'm supposed to stand over there because that's where I'm supposed to take the next move, and then walk over there and then take the next move.
Let's put it this way. This is the first time in quite a while a pay-per-view divas match will not be featured in Botchamania.
In spite of having a Bella.
Unless they show the Brie Bella almost breaking her neck replay. And even that might be pushing it. I don't know.
It was a good match. And yeah, there were little flaws in it. And I suppose you can let those slide.
Yep.
Personally, I just feel sorry for Becky.
Uh-huh.
Like, here it is, Sasha and Charlotte getting a chance to showcase, and she's delegated to the outside.
Yeah.
I don't know, it almost makes me think that it would have been more interesting for Becky to be a part of Team Bella, just so she could have got in the ring with the other two tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Would have been nice, but we'll get to see a lot of her coming up pretty soon, I think.
Well, the idea was to show that, you know, there's the new guard versus the old guard a little bit. You needed someone, and Abella is a perfect choice for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the right way to mix it up. You had a lot of NXT in there, so you could actually see how good NXT matches are.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Abella in there, which is the epitome of what has been wrong with divas for the last few years.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about Becky, I mean, at one point when Brie was given the green light to have her mini run in the ring, the crowd was chanting for Becky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
it was it's for the best. It's good to hold one back so there's still something for the Raw, for the audience on Monday Night Raw to look forward to.
Any promoter, any showman will tell you, always leave them wanting more. Well, not using Becky left the crowd wanting more. So, and that's, you know,
yeah, but you could have still had all three in the ring at the same time tonight, and the crowd still would have wanted more because
you know, that was actually that entertaining.
Yeah, it was that damn good. And of course, Charlotte pulls out the win with the figure four bridge that she calls the figure eight, which is kind of enjoyable to watch her slap that on her opponent. And I don't mean that in a prurient bad way. I wasn't being nasty. I just wanted to say that before anybody chimed in, Rock.
It's a bit egotistical. She's saying that she's twice the person her old man is.
There you go.
when she holds a women's NXT or Divas title 16 times, then she can start talking.
Then we'll start talking, yeah. The weird thing, though, with her slapping on the finishing move is that she's so tall and her legs are so long compared to all the other girls that she's wrestling against. It just, it looks really awkward because everybody else has got such short legs compared to her.
That's part of the appeal, Tim.
Yes. I know. It still looks a little awkward. I'm not saying it wasn't appealing. Like it was appealing. It just looked awkward. Anyway. So, yeah, a Divas match that we were all very, very much in favor of. When was the last time that happened? Paige versus AJ Part 2, maybe, which is what, well over a year ago?
Yeah, it'd be something like nearly 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, entertaining, enjoyable, and thoroughly watchable. And if you missed it, it's your own damn fault and your own bad luck because it was good. But, guys, gals, everybody, hey, what about that awkward moment when even hardcore Cena haters realize they're looking forward to a John Cena match?
That's when you do these words, feud of the year.
Fuck yeah. We're talking about John Cena versus Kevin Owens, this time for the U.S. title. And I think this was one of the two most anticipated matches on this pay-per-view tonight. A lot of this is awesome chance going on throughout the night. Kevin Owens stealing just about every one of John Cena's five moves of doom.
Yeah, pretty much.
And this time around, because normally I hate that when a wrestler pulls off and WWE got stuck in a rut like 5 years ago. I can't remember the feud, but they were using each other's moves, the two wrestlers in the ring in this feud.
Austin versus Rock comes to mind when you talk about stealing finishes.
Yeah, there's another one that was a little more recent. They just, I think Randy Orton was involved this time around, the one that I was referring to. This time I didn't have a problem with Owens taking all of Cena's moves and trying to beat Cena with his own shit. I mean, yeah, the match was awesome. It was very good. And I don't know.
It's interesting when it works more when a heel steals the face's moves to try and beat him with, not the other way around.
Yeah, well, this is true. You got a point.
That's the psychology behind it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to discredit these guys and say that they didn't put on a great match. They did.
Yeah.
This entire series has been full of really, really good matches.
Mm-hmm.
But where it gets me is the fucking finish. I'm sorry. I know that people are going to go, oh, it's too early to do this, rah, rah, rah. I'm like, no, I'm enjoying this feud. I want to see it continue. Where's your good progression point to get people to come back and still be involved in this next month?
After
Owens going over.
Yeah, Owens tapping out in the middle of the ring to a submission move. I love this match just as much, if not more so, than I love the other matches that these two have had with each other. And it's a case of every single match they've had with you. Oh, fuck, that was good. They're not going to top this. Oh, shit, they just topped it. They're not going to top this. Oh, come on. They just topped it again. Can they do it? Possibly, but it's tainted because of the way Owens lost.
I don't understand the booking behind that. You just had him kick out of, when Cena actually delivers the attitude adjustment from the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's, like, the biggest shot he has in his entire playbook. That's the
and
one
Owens
he pulls
kicks out.
Out
of it.
That's one he pulls out when he's done every other move he has, and it still hasn't put his opponent away. That's the move he uses to put an opponent away, and it didn't. And the crowd goes apeshit over this because they know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and Holy fuck, Owens kicked out.
Cena's completely dumbfounded at this, has no idea what to do from here.
Yep.
And 1 minute later, normal STF applied, tap out.
Yeah, you see,
what?
It's not the fact that Owens lost that has us scratching our teeth, making our teeth itchy. It's not the fact he lost. It's the fact he tapped out. Now,
had it's the fact he tapped out over nothing.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like the fact that he tapped out is one thing as well, like for me. But the thing is, I want to see this feud continue. Mm-hmm. What reason does Cena have to go up against Kevin Owens again? He has none now.
In the near future? Anytime soon? No, he doesn't. You're right.
He has won the series. He has retained the U.S. title. You know, he's got no point to continue with Owens at all. Whereas if you had it the other way, Owens wins the U.S. belt, and next night on Raw, Owens comes out, you know what, this weekly challenge bullshit, gone. This is my belt. I'm keeping it. I'll defend it when I want, how I want. Then you have Cena charge out going, you're going to deface that belt, rah, 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 rah. Then you've got a reason for them to go up against each other again. Now, nothing. Anything that's going to be done tomorrow night to try and get them to continue this feud is just going to sound like arbitrary bullshit.
I mean, what happens now? Cesaro and Cena go into a pay-per-view level feud for the title and Cesaro wins the title?
Oh, that's going to be the greatest feud of the summer.
Well, hey, they've had three fantastic matches that were pay-per-view quality. I don't think that they could actually pull it off a fourth time. And if they people are still going to be like jaundiced because, oh, man, we've already done it three times.
If they had had Cesaro versus Cena tonight and they pulled on a good match, awesome. Next month is fucking SummerSlam. This is your biggest event of the summer. This is your second or third biggest pay-per-view, depending on how you look at how you decide to rank them personally. There is no reason whatsoever for them to go up against each other at that pay-per-view. You want your big feuds to happen and end at SummerSlam. And I'm sorry, but I can't see a reason, and I know Rock's sitting there chomping at the bit wanting to say something. That's right. Which is why I'm extending this as long as possible, just so I can get him to hide in the corner a little bit longer. Nah, look. Rock, say what you're going to say, and if I'm going to yell at you, I'm going to yell at you, all right?
Could you really see your U.S. champion losing clean to in an NXT championship match?
But it wasn't an NXT championship match.
If Kevin Owens wins your U.S. championship, NXT Brooklyn, TakeOver Brooklyn, is Finn Balor NXT champion defending against Kevin Owens. Could you see WWE having the U.S. champion lose in an NXT championship match?
Is it a title versus title match?
No.
No. Is it a U.S. championship match? It's not a U.S. title match, right?
That's the thing. You've had Cena versus Owens going on at the same time as you had the match between Balor and Owens, where Owens lost the NXT title to Balor. Didn't hurt him a damn bit.
I said I was going to get yelled at, so there you go.
No, you're not getting yelled at.
I'm just explaining to you where you're fucking wrong.
That's all.
I'm going with how they would look at it. Would they want their U.S. champion losing to the NXT champion? Probably not. Especially not the day before SummerSlam, where he probably would have to defend the next night his title.
You look at the belt before Rusev held that thing, and it was just as much of a is just as much of a death knell as the Intercontinental title. Like, the mid-card champions were there to look, to hold a belt to make you think they're really, really good, so the people who beat them can look better. And that was the booking mentality behind those belts for years. And thankfully, they did start to change that. Our mid-card champions are consistently winning now. That's good. But when you put if you put a U.S. champion against the NXT champion, yes. Because A, it's no different than when SmackDown would beat Raw in their head-to-head events or, you know, Survivor Series. SmackDown always beat Raw because the idea was, oh, well, if SmackDown can beat Raw in the match, then SmackDown must be good. Let's go see what SmackDown's about, trying to boost the ratings. You do the same thing. Oh, well, NXT must be really, really good. I'm one of Michael Cole's idiots that paid, you know, $50 for this pay-per-view. I should get the network now to see NXT.
Plus, what's the other idea? They find some stupid reason for Cena versus Owens at SummerSlam. Have Owens lose two times in two nights?
It's WWE, they would.
Yeah, well, after tonight, I'll agree with you on that one.
Yeah, no, excuse me. I see Balor retaining the NXT championship, And Owens will fight for a title, in WWE. When is the question? Against who is the other question?
Please, not for the IC title against Ryback. Please don't do that. No.
No. Owens versus Ryback would not cause me to tune in. That would not draw me. It really wouldn't.
I'd be looking for dishes. I'd be seeing if there were dishes to wash. If not, I'd make some dirty just so I could wash them.
There you go. Learn to cook some apple pie, and then you've got something to do, because you make a lot of dirty dishes when you do that.
What? Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, I was just trying to think of a ways. Well, how can we get a lot of dirty dishes for Mace to clean up if this ever happens? I know, make an apple pie. Clean as you go. Anyway, yeah.
When are you at a lack of dirt? The planet is made of the shit.
Dirt isn't dirty. It's the shit in the dirt that's dirty.
You still have to clean the plate if you put it in dirt.
Oh,
he's got a point.
He does in his own now, weird backwards way.
Just to bring something up, LeMann's in the chat room saying that Owens winning the US title at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
What? Why? Why? Because it's SummerSlam and Cena has a history of losing belts at SummerSlam? That doesn't make sense. There's no reason for Cena to give Owens another shot now. Cena won the series. It's done.
It's, bye. It's the three-match rule. One wins the first, the other wins the second, and then you have the rubber match, and the rubber match ends the feud.
Yeah, the only way you could continue this match is if you had pulled the Brett Austin finish where he just passed out from the STF, which would have made him look a lot better since he wouldn't have tapped out.
I would have accepted that. And as a matter of fact, not too long ago, I was thinking, well, why didn't they just have him pass out in the hold?
Then you have him come out on Raw and said, you didn't make me tap out. You took everything you had, and you still couldn't get me to tap out.
It took you almost killing me to beat me, but you never really beat me.
But here's the thing, okay? If Rollins was pinned after the F5 off the top rope, if that's the ending of the match,
Rollins I could accept the top rope with an F5.
Cena.
What the fuck are you on tonight?
Dude, I'm talking to three different people at the same time. Don't give me grief, for crying out loud. Listen to what I mean and not what I say.
You talk to three people every Sunday night at the same time.
I'm not talking in the same window or on the same phone call. I've got three different things going on separately.
Okay, then that's minimum five right now.
Yeah, I'm getting distracted, okay?
So you also can't count tonight.
So,
Well,
stop it!
Well, here's the thing. That's the problem. We are trying to count at the moment, and it's really screwing things up.
Yeah, Omega, suck on a Lego and choke on it. Shut up! Anyway, if Owens had been pinned after taking an F5 from the top rope by Cena, there, does that work? I would have accepted.
If Owens got pinned after that, I would have fucking flipped tables anyway.
If that was the finish after he gets out of the STF, I would have accepted it. It would have made more sense than to him tapping out on an STF after taking that super shot off the rope.
Either way, fucking Superman won twice tonight, and I'm not fucking happy with either result.
Yeah, what was more bullshit? That Superman or this pay-per-view?
Yeah. Well, he's not talking
Superman
about...
Superman beating Goku twice. That is still more bullshit than Cena beating Owens.
Yeah, just for people who are wondering what the fuck are they talking about. He's not talking about Cena winning two matches.
No, just quickly, a little series called Death Battle that you can find on YouTube did the rematch between Goku and Superman. And yep. Superman just basically had the most bullshit fucking ending of all. And then they basically
they
shit
like
all over. They booked Superman like John Cena, which was
that's exactly what it's hilarious. Gonna say. That's exactly what it's going to say.
So there you
like,
go.
That was like bullshit. It's like Goku full power doing his best move straight at Superman. Superman walks straight through the middle of it, grabs his hand, and then shoots him through the fucking brain. It's like, what? I've seen John Cena matches that were more realistic than that bullshit.
Yeah.
Excuse me while I go punch a fucking wall.
Listen, I love this match just like I love the other matches that they had. I want them to keep going. I'm having a hard time trying to figure out how they're going to do that after tonight.
Well, yeah, I'm the same way. I enjoyed the match. I hated the ending. I want to see the feud continue. However, it's going to be interesting to see how they continue, if they're going to continue this, how they do it without making it sound like absolute bullshit.
You know what? I think the best option to keep the match going and John Cena doesn't lose the title is to have Kevin Owens snap and get DQ'd.
Nah. At this point, Owen needs a win. Some way, somehow, he needs the win.
Until before now, his big claim was the reason he is intimidating on Monday Night Raw is because his first match on the main roster, he beat Cena. That's it. And well, now Cena's beat him twice in a row. So, big fucking deal. You got lucky the first time.
So the match itself, absolutely fantastic. I'd watch it over and over again. I just would shut it off before we got the finish. Because, yeah, that was just... But, I don't know, we're going to have to see what happens from here and where they take it. Okay, I sort of owe Lindsay a chocolate chip cookie, I think. She said something about Miz and Big Show having a match, and I said they're not going to show up, but Miz cut a promo and Show knocked them the fuck out. So does she get a cookie for that? Does that count?
Sure.
All right.
Because that's the easiest decision we have to make tonight.
Yeah, after everything that's going on. We've got a big discussion about how the hell did this next match end. Now, I'm talking about the main event here.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why we've got to all come to a consensus. We'll get to that in just a bit here. But let's talk about the main event. What was the over-under? I called the over-under, I pegged it at 6.5.
I said 12?
Now, I had it pegged at 8.
You both went over. Omega, you were on over as well, right?
I don't know what you people are talking about.
Suplex City, bitch.
I didn't guess a number.
He didn't pick a number.
Oh, okay.
No one told me to pick a number.
Oh, well, pick a number. No, what number are you going to pick? Pick a number right now.
9.
Yeah, you're still wrong.
Ask me if I care.
No, because I know the answer. We had a grand total of 13.
I had 12 written down, Tim.
We had 13 suplexes.
Okay.
The overhead was still a suplex.
I counted that one, yeah.
Oh, did you? Okay. But we had 13 suplexes. I stopped counting at 8, but we had 13 suplexes.
We may have a 13. It may have been way
down. They need to design a counter in the bottom corner of the screen for Brock Lesnar matches to count the suplexes. That way we always have an official number.
Call it the Brockometer, like they had the Honkometer for Santino. Was it Santino?
Yeah.
Fuck, I can't even remember anymore. But, yeah, that was the final tally according to JBL officially. It was 13 suplexes. He was counting right along on the air, and if you were paying attention, you would have heard him say it. But Rollins defending against Brock Lesnar for the WWE World Heavyweight title. Good match. I'm pretty impressed that Rollins got in the amount of offense that he did get in, and he looked at least partially credible in the ring against Brock Lesnar, do you think?
He had to, at least partially.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You have to believe that at some point he might somewhat need to look that good against an opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when the whole thing is, well, the authority's not around right now.
Yeah.
So it gives him a little bit of credibility even in the thorough ass whooping he received.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, you hung in there better than Cena did the first time, so be proud of that.
Yeah, that was a total squash against Cena that first time. That was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody ate it up because they hate Cena, so that's all good. But no, the match, I found it enjoyable and entertaining, and all of a sudden the gong hits and the lights go out.
And then I lost my hearing for about 5 minutes.
What happened to your hearing?
He was too slow on the mute button.
Yeah, Lindsay.
I was on the phone with Lindsay, and, you know.
You're like, what are you talking about? Oh, wait a minute. No, Lindsay. Lindsay just had an orgasm from Atlanta heard around the world. Or Georgia. I don't know if she's in Atlanta.
I don't know. Where was the epicenter of the quake?
Where the fuck Lindsay lives. So now, I tried to be a fan to mark out, even though, you know, Undertaker for the last week has been reported, and because of what we do, we already know this. I'm like, oh, shit, didn't expect that coming. Mace, you bugger, you called me on it.
But there was still some doubt that he was going to show up tonight.
Yeah.
A little bit. Not much, but there's a little doubt, because he was mainly scheduled for tomorrow. But yeah, there was a little doubt.
Well, still. I mean, whether he is expected to show up or not, you can't be surprised when he does, when everybody is reporting he's there.
I know.
And so, you know, I'm like, oh, cool. Hey, yeah, he actually did show up. You know, and so I, you know, I got called out by Mace for trying to mark out because he didn't buy it for a second. God damn it, you didn't buy it.
No, I'm sorry. Not going to buy it for a goddamn fucking second.
Not from
because,
me.
No, from anyone. I don't give a flying fuck how much of a taker mark you are or whatever. Undertaker coming back? No, I'm sorry. Leave the guy fucking retired. I don't need to see a guy who is looking more and more like the fucking Crypt Keeper every week to fucking go up against a guy who literally can kill the motherfucker.
Well, he looked at least to be in a lot better shape than their match at WrestleMania last year, if that means anything.
Sure, if you call a walking bag of fucking bones a shape. I cannot buy after what happened between Brock and Taker at WrestleMania, I can't buy a fucking rematch, especially after the bullshit that got pulled tonight. Brock got ready for a fucking fight, Taker kicks him in the nuts, and then fucking throws him around like a fucking $2 whore.
Mm-hmm.
How's that supposed to make me want to fucking see him in SummerSlam?
Well, the problem I had with this is a year and a half after Taker lost to him at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
If it had happened 5 or 6 months after WrestleMania when he lost, different story.
If we had this last year, it would have been viable.
How about
a year and a half later?
How about this?
Fuck no!
How about this? How about at fucking WrestleMania when both were in the building? Like, if he's that pissed off at Brock that he wants revenge now for breaking the streak, why not when he was right there?
Well, no. Even then, it would have been too long. Mace is going to back me up on this one.
I'm not saying from a booking standpoint. I'm not talking from a booking standpoint. I'm talking from fucking logic.
Even 12 months, it might have been a bit long booking-wise, but from a logic standpoint, that would have been all right. I could have taken 2 years' worth of fucking Brock Lesnar and Undertaker matches at WrestleMania. Fuck, I sat through two Shawn Michaels and...
Even that's not the point of it. The point is, Taker is this mad still a year and a half later that he has to go and fuck up his championship match? That's how pissed off he is still?
No, that's how long
a year
it took
and a half?
No,
why didn't he do this when they were in the same damn building? Why didn't he do this any other time Brock was defending the title? Why the fuck he waits so damn long?
Because it took him that long to get over his damn concussion.
He was at WrestleMania. They were in the same fucking building.
Don't apply logic to what I just said. It was a smart-ass comment.
But I'm sorry. A year and a half after the initial loss, we're supposed to buy that we're getting a rematch now? No.
Yep.
Sorry. Opportunity is long gone. Warranty expired. Sorry. Fuck that shit.
Yep.
I wanted a fucking bloodbath tonight. I was promised a fucking bloodbath tonight. I didn't get a fucking bloodbath. What I got was an old man beating up one of the toughest beings on the fucking planet right now, legitimately.
I'm going to take you to task. Just because Taker's 45 doesn't mean he couldn't beat somebody up.
He couldn't beat up Brock fucking Lesnar, for fuck's sake.
And I just want to say, Adrian, by the way, first started at the UFC, but Brock lost that night when Taker was there. Just wanted to correct Adrian on that.
Yeah, that's true. He was there at the Mia match. But that's the like, Brock Lesnar is one of the legitimate toughest fuckers on the planet right now.
Like, in real life.
In real life. Like, if this was an actual fucking fight between Mark Calloway and Brock fucking Lesnar, I'm putting my money on Brock fucking Lesnar.
Absolutely.
I cannot for the life of me even consider the thought that The Undertaker has a fucking chance against Brock fucking Lesnar right now.
Yeah.
And they want me to fucking believe that at SummerSlam, and they make fucking Brock Lesnar take a fucking beating like he's a fucking fresh rookie fucking jobber.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
that shit.
Yeah, no, it was a little too one-sided as far as that goes, slanted in Taker's favor. You know, I popped because it's Undertaker. And, you know, like, I've been of course I'm a fan of Undertaker. I've been a fan of Calloway ever since he was Mean Mark in WCW. I've been a fan of him. But that being said, and yes, I popped because it's Taker and he showed up and we got the gong and it's nostalgia. That's the problem right there. The word nostalgia. We're not after nostalgia. We're after believability. And I'm thoroughly not disagreeing with Mace on this subject. It is a year too late for this program. I'm sorry. It just is.
And the fucking crowd switching the second that, like, yeah, okay. Nostalgia is one thing. That's why The Rock gets a fucking pop every time he rocks up.
Yeah.
You know, it's the reason why Austin gets a pop when he rocks up. It's the same when fucking any of the old timers get a pop when they rock up. That's fine. But the WWE at the moment wants you to believe that The Undertaker, sure, at 44 years old, 45 years old, whatever he is, with his fucking busted up hips, his fucked up knees, his bad back, his bad elbows, bad neck, fucking 10 ton of fucking injuries like Mick Foley, is supposed to be able to throw around a man the size of Brock Lesnar like he's a dog with a fucking chew toy, and then have them have a legitimate match that you're going to get swept up in at SummerSlam? Fuck no!
I'm going to watch the match, but I'm not going to
believe. Tell you what, as much as I know Heyman's going to try, I don't even think he can sell this one.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. The casual viewer, the masses, they're going to buy it, and you know they're going to buy it. So as long as they buy it, WWE is going to keep selling it.
The casual fan rocks up for fucking WrestleMania. They don't rock up for SummerSlam. They don't rock up the other 11 months of the fucking year, Tim. They rock up for WrestleMania. That's it. That's why you pull The Undertaker out at WrestleMania, because that's where your nostalgia crowd's going to be.
No, SummerSlam is one of the original four, and, you know, there are people that will come back that don't even bother with the product anymore, but they'll catch the original four, you know. And now, in different places, it's a different story, and, of course, because Calgary has such the tradition with wrestling, it's the original four here that, you know, the Alberta wrestling fan is into that. And that's fine. Different places are going to be different things. And you've got a point. I mean, like Joe Blow, who's got $150 to waste on a, you know, third tier ticket, well wasted at WrestleMania. He's not going to go to SummerSlam. But there
are
people.
How much is somebody wasting on a third tier ticket at WrestleMania, Tim?
Huh? $150 for a third tier seat? No.
Keep going. Higher.
Really?
I think this year's third tier was like $350.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, those prices have fucking skyrocketed over the last couple of years.
Yeah, no shit, because it was $150 when I was planning on going, but wound up not going because shit happened, and I was going to be, like, sitting up past the nosebleeds, and I think the tickets were $150 each.
I think somewhere in this we lost sight of the real issue with this match. Where did Seth Rollins go?
This is where we have to talk. This is what we got to talk about. Did anybody hear a bell? Was any finish
no.
of the match called?
No
bell, no call of the finish.
If you are any self-respecting booker and you wanted your heel champion like hated like no one else ever was, you have him crawl back into the ring, pin Lesnar 1-2-3 and brag about it on Monday Night Raw like The Undertaker never existed.
That would still piss people off, but not necessarily in as bad a way as it could.
At least then you have a legitimate reason for Lesnar to come back for Rollins.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Again, it's like, okay, we're going to change the focus of Lesnar to The Undertaker for next month, when really the focus should be getting that belt back. Yeah, where does this leave Rollins, to be honest? As much as I've soured on Rollins in the last couple of months, I was legitimately looking forward to this because I thought it was going to be a good fucking match. And it's one we haven't seen before.
Yeah, and it started out.
Because of the ending, I highly doubt we're going to actually see it again.
Yeah, and this is unfortunate because at Mania, I really thought Rollins proved himself. You know, I called him ready for a match like this. Yeah, I was really looking forward to it because it was different. It was new, and we desperately need different and new. And instead, we're probably going to get Rollins and Orton again because that's pretty much the only top. There's like the only top guy who actually came out tonight looking good who doesn't already have something else to do.
Yeah, and speaking of like guys who could have done, where was Sheamus? Brock Lesnar's dead in the ring. Where's Sheamus with that briefcase?
No. Well, make a triple threat again, do the exact same thing.
Exactly! And then you can probably have Sheamus versus Rollins, which, I'll be honest, wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah,
if you're gonna have a lower tier card, well, it's gonna be a lower tier match at SummerSlam if they went around that way, right?
Yeah.
At least then it's something different.
No, this is true. So anyway, we didn't get a DQ call. We didn't get a bell. We didn't get a pin from Rollins taking advantage of the bullshit beatdown. So what is the outcome of this match, guys? And this is very important that we get this settled, because guess what? With WTR Pick'em, everybody who tied is still tied.
Technically, this is a no contest. Meaning neither man lost, neither man won. So you would put it down as a non-match.
For the first time all night, me and Mace finally agree on something.
I changed my mind! Fuck this shit! Fuck off!
Because I told Tim...
As you can tell, I've calmed down a lot more since the start of the show.
You were, like, ballistic.
I got to Zeke during the break. I'm happy now.
There you go. Zeke always makes things good, especially if you got calamari.
Because this is a key thing in it all. If we call it a disqualification, we will have four people tied. If we call it a no contest, one gets eliminated, so we're down to three.
So we've got a three-way tie. We've got to carry this over to the next pay-per-view.
Yes.
This is unprecedented.
Hold on.
Yeah, according to WWE.com, it is officially a no contest.
Okay.
So that's the official result. So we have one eliminated.
So we eliminate Will.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh, Chris, Sheila, you're all still in the running to win this thing, but kids, you got to play Pick'em for SummerSlam.
It's like a fucking reality show, and it all comes to a head at SummerSlam because it's one of the big four.
Oh, good God. Does that mean we now have to start following people around with cameras and falsifying drama?
Yes. As soon as we're done here, we're gonna need you in the private room for a cutaway interview.
Oh God, damn it!
No. Don't worry. We'll give you everything you need to say.
There you go. Yeah, Josh, you made the cut. Congratulations. You're moving on. We have to say thank you very much for playing, Will. You're not going home with $1,000 cash, because this is not Jeopardy. You're just going home.
Well, this isn't even a WWE Tough Enough.
You've been banished from the island.
So, there you go.
So, means I gotta talk to you later, Tim.
Okay.
Anyway.
And in the next month, you three that are still in it, stop sharing your fucking results, all right?
Yeah, don't
get together. No, here's the thing.
We want you to win this, because we got more stuff to give away.
We're making
Shut up for a minute. Rock, question. How are these particular three to the left, how have they been getting their results to you?
Through the Facebook group.
Right. They need this upcoming month for SummerSlam. No. Do it via private message, because I want to make sure there's no fucking collusion on this shit.
No, we'll actually come up with a tiebreaker. We're going to come up with a tiebreaker and it ends at SummerSlam.
If not, we're going to play any, meeny, miny, moe until everybody's fucking done.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. One of you really had to win this time around, I'm just saying. But I think if Tim remembers, yeah.
What, the other prize?
Yeah.
WWE car flag.
Oh, you completely forget. I'll tell you later. Anyway, moving on. Let's end the show. Give a full grade.
Oh, I forgot something?
Uh-huh. I'll tell you later.
There was something else?
Uh-huh.
An autographed picture of my computer.
Yes, that's what it was.
Alrighty then. So, there you go.
Can we get the results of the Pick'em quick hits, and let's get the fuck out of here?
No quick hits.
We're not doing quick hits.
We're going through.
We're pretty much done, kids.
Give the results of Pick'em.
The results of quick hits, I don't fucking believe this. I got topped by the Magic 8-Ball.
The
results of quick hits. Magic 8-Ball went technically now, think, 4-1. I think that's how it went.
What's that?
Because this whole thing is skewed now differently.
Uh-huh.
Because in King Kidd's setup, he has everyone with the loss for the world title match.
Yeah, well, let's look at it this way. Who has the WWE World Heavyweight title?
Don't try to start changing things around, Tim.
I'm not changing things. In a no contest, Rollins kept the title, so it
is. However, the match is declared no contest, meaning the match technically has not happened.
Did anybody pick Brock Lesnar to win tonight?
Yes.
And pick him.
Yeah, there were a couple people that actually picked.
Okay, who picked Lesnar to win?
We have a Lesnar by disqualification from Mace.
Okay, Hold on.
They all get thrown out. Like, this whole match gets thrown out.
Yeah, the entire match gets thrown out.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everything, all the final
record. Okay, what did Magic 8 Ball pick?
Oh, Brock Lesnar.
The Magic 8 Ball went 4-1, though. That I know. Tim, I think Tim, you went 4-1 as well. I think.
Well, I'm technically 4-2 because I said Rollins retains the title. Rollins retained the title.
You're 4-1, Tim. Live with it.
Anyway, tune in Thursday night. We'll give you the full results when King Kins redoes this.
You know what? I'll go with 4-1 because before that I was 4-2. So figure that one out. I'd be 3-2.
Actually, no, you're 3-1 because 3-2 because you had Rollins. So you're 3-2.
I just said that.
I know you're 3-2.
Oh my God! Repeat what I say. I just said that.
I know. I'm looking at the thing now. So
I'm gonna shoot you.
Anyway, let's end this show.
Hey, don't blame Rock on this one. This is WWE's fault for fucking up a match.
Yeah, I'm just purposely doing this to annoy you, Mace.
Everybody, like I said, I've got Tzatziki. I'm happy. Fuck you.
There you go. Everybody, thank you very much for tuning in and listening to us. I was thoroughly entertained by the pay-per-view. I really disagreed with a lot of the booking. But I wasn't quite as ballistic as Mace got, and it's understandable, but, you know, I was a little more laid back about it. don't forget tomorrow night, right after Raw, it's the Raw Post Show.
7:10 p.m. Eastern, we'll recap everything that happens on Monday Night Raw, including The Undertaker and possibly a man with face paint. You never know. Tune in, it's the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Thursday night, another edition of the award-winning The Rack.
We'll talk NXT, we'll actually talk Battleground, we'll talk SmackDown and Tough Enough and all that fun stuff. It's The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go back and listen to our interview with the one and only Sanjay Dutt as he promotes Global Force Wrestling. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, Rack Radio Show, and check out the website, rackradioshow.com. Follow Lindsay on Twitter, at LindsayWard.
Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, as close as they can get to it. It's another edition of the Wild, the Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual, and half the time the illegal. We're talking CB Radio. You can follow CB Radio at CB Radio on the Twitter machines.
No.
No?
CB Radio WTR on the Twitter machine.
Well, close enough.
Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. It's weird, wacky, unusual. Hashtag blame Rob. CBRadioLive.com.
Just search if you...
And all that other fun stuff. We play games, we talk anything, and coming this fall, the boys play football pick-up.
Yeah, and don't forget, WTR 7 and 8 returns to its regular time at 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, next Sunday night, when we don't have any pay-per-view talk to talk about yet. But we'll talk about other stuff. You can follow me at Trivial Tim on Twitter. You can also follow me at Flames Forum on Twitter. Flames Forums. At Flames Forums?
That would be your Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And be sure to join the Facebook group, Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network.
There you go. Mace is on the Twitter machines, but don't ask him about Facebook.
Yes, you can find me on the Twitter machine at TheMaceThing. You can also find things that I'm working on over at youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage, where I do game reviews, rants, and other such things. Coming hopefully later this week, if I can actually find the motivation, Godzilla.
Omega.
Hmm.
You have plugging.
I have plugging. And I can plug everything with the word TJ Omega. Because TJ Omega is where I am, where I do all my videos over on YouTube. Unless YouTube doesn't like the video, in which case it's on tjomega.org. TJ Omega, as said earlier in the show, is also the Twitter account. And then there's TJ Reviews over on Facebook, because some asshole also calls himself TJ Omega.
Bastard.
Gimmick infringement.
There you go. Everybody, once again, thank you very much for tuning in. Catch us next Sunday night. Same bat place, different bat time, 10 o'clock Eastern. We'll be back. Until then, enjoy your week.